Well, my brothers and my sisters, it is that time that we crack open the Bible and we just see what does the word have to say about us. I want to once again just give a special shout out to all of the mothers out there saying Happy Mother's Day on today. Happy Mother's Day. I want you to know that whatever you are doing a great work. You don't have to worry about what the woman across the street is doing. You don't have to worry about what your best friend is doing. Just do the best that you can do. Be the best you can be. And I guarantee you, God will continue to smile on you. Well, for all of the women out there, brothers, don't think that you are excluded either. We have a special word from the Lord, tailor-made for our women on today. My brothers, including myself and Brother Slade, open up your ears. Get some insight. It might just tell you what you need to do. We want to have no one ever said that you couldn't have a good time in church. So we want to break open the word of God today, and we want to talk about not only a mother's comfort, but a mother's sacrifice. One thing that we know, Brother Slade, is that our mothers made sacrifices. If your mother didn't sacrifice, I know everybody got a grandmama that made some sacrifices.
Right, that's right.
If
right.
you ain't got a grandmama, then you had an auntie that made some sacrifices.
Say it, my brother.
I don't know anyone in this world that can say that they do not know of a woman who did not make sacrifices.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the Bible, I couldn't find one woman in the Bible who made a better sacrifice than a woman that we hear about close to every Mother's Day. And her name is Hannah. If you don't know anything about Hannah, this is why we say there is power in a woman that prays, because Hannah knew how to pray. One thing that we know about motherhood is that motherhood is a special privilege and a sacred duty. Think about the role that a mother plays in the nurture and development of a child. There's a South African proverb that says, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the nation and its destiny." A mother's love is special and unique, but a mother's duty is to raise a child to follow and serve God. There may not be a greater heartache than for a woman to have the heart of a mother, the desire to nurture and love a young life, but not have a child. What great pain and struggle for young couples who want a child yet cannot have one. It grips your hearts to see the tears of a woman who wants to be a mother so badly. And this was the circumstance for Hannah, as recorded in Scripture in 1 Samuel 10 and 13. Samuel 1, verses 10 through 13, we read, it says, "Deeply hurt, Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept with many tears. Making a vow, she pleaded, 'Lord of hosts, if you will take notice of your servant's affliction, remember and not forget me, and give your servant a son. I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and his hair will never be cut.' While she was praying in the Lord's presence, Eli watched her lips. Hannah was speaking to herself, and although her lips were moving, her voice could not be heard, and Eli thought she was drunk. Hannah hurt deeply because she wanted to be a mother. In her pain, she cried out to God. And this is a side note and not the heart of the sermon, but when you are in pain, there is no better person to go to than God. As the hymn writer Elisha Hoffman tells us, I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. Hannah goes to God in her pain and makes a vow. Number one, we see that Hannah gave a vow to God. What a great gift it is to become a mother or a father, but what a great responsibility as well. I don't know about you, but I am overwhelmed by being a father. I have three boys, and I just get overwhelmed. It is an amazing honor to be given a precious young life to shape, to mold, and to direct. And unfortunately, I did not receive an owner manual with the birth of any of my sons. And sometimes I will admit I make too many mistakes. Brother Slade, I've come to realize I got three boys, and none of them are the same. I need someone more qualified than me to help me with this process. And I see Hannah points us to who that is. Hannah gives her sons to God, literally, and she points us to doing the same. Hannah made a promise. Hannah promised her future son to God as a priest to demonstrate the depth of her commitment. She committed her boy with a Nazarite vow. According to Jewish tradition, Levite priests served until the age of 50. Likewise, a Nazarite vow lasted for a limited time. But Hannah made a commitment that reached far beyond either one. Her vow was for all the days of his life. You know, I find it amazing that Hannah would make such an extreme promise for a son she did not have. Now, here is the difficult question. Mom, how much do you trust God? Do you trust him enough to give him your children? If not, the next question is, why not? Because Hannah trusted God completely with her child, and you can too. We see that Hannah gave her son to serve God. The North American Mission Board statistics have reported that baptisms in Southern Baptist churches have declined. More than 10,000 Baptist churches did not baptize anyone in recent years. What will alter this course? Jesus told us that the harvest was plentiful, but it was the workers who were few. A new generation of individuals given to God could become a mighty army for his kingdom. Listen to these quotes from missionaries around about the need to take the gospel to the world. Robert Moffat said, in the vast plains of the north I have seen, in the morning sun, the smoke of a thousand villages where no missionaries have ever been. Oswald Smith said, we talk of the second coming. Half the world has never heard of the first. Amy Carmichael said, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Mike Statura said, the mark of a great church is not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. Not called, you say? Not heard the call. I think you should say, put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to his pitiful wail for help. Stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned beg you to go to their father's house and entreat their brothers and sisters not to come there. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstance in the march to publish his mercy to the world. When I hear those quotes, they stir something within me. How much do they stir you? They might stir you enough to give some money to a missionary or a mission fund. They may even stir you enough that you give time and actually go on a short-term mission trip. And those are great ways to give mission. But do they stir you enough for you to give up your child for God? You may say, I think that's a high price to pay, to give my son or daughter to serve God. And you are right. It is a high price, but it is an honorable price. It was the price that God paid when he gave his only begotten son to the world. Are you willing to give your son or your daughter? Not only did they just she give, but she gave them to worship. We see that when Samuel was weaned, Hannah made good on her vow to God and brought the boy to Eli, the priest. And here is how 1 Samuel 1:26-28 describes that encounter. She said, "Please, my Lord," she said, "as sure as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this boy, and since the Lord gave me what I asked for him, I now give the boy to the Lord. For as long as he lives, he is given to the Lord." Then he bowed and worshiped the Lord there. Here's what is amazing about this passage. It is not Eli who worships God, but Samuel. I find it so amazing that this boy, who is at the most 2 or 3 years old at the time, knows how to worship God. How did he learn to worship? He learned from the only person around him, his mother. Children are like sponges, soaking up everything around them. One of the greatest moments of my life happened when my son was only a few years old, and his teacher told us what happened in class, that they had snack time, and he prayed even over their snack time. He put his two little hands together in a prayer position and bowed his head, and that was special. But guess what? He still does it. And there is a speaker, and even in amongst children now, that we see that the children listen. So that is why we see that at one point in our times, we have to get into solitude with our children and say, "Let's pray." I'll tell you where my son learned how to pray at. I am his pastor. I am his father. But I know that my son learned how to pray because of his mother. And my son is with his mother more than he is with me. And one thing I know about my wife, she prays, Brother Slade. So I know that my sons know how to pray. But not only did she give her sons, she gave herself. And this is where we have to be ourselves at. 1 Samuel 2:1-2 details Hannah's prayer. It is the secret to how Hannah trusted God and taught Samuel to worship God. Look at how 1 Samuel 2:1-2 records the prayer of Hannah. It says, "Hannah prayed, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is filled up by the Lord. My mouth boasts over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you, and there is no rock like our God.'" Hannah rejoices in the Lord and his salvation. Her horn, which is a symbol of power, is the Lord, and her rock is God. In just a few verses, Hannah exalts the might and the power of the Lord, and these are not just words, but they reflect her heart. Jesus told the story of two men who built homes, one upon the sand and one upon the rock. And the storm came and destroyed the house on the sand, but the house on the rock stood strong. The purpose of Jesus' parable was to lead us to build our life on the firm foundation of the rock, which is Christ. Hannah built her life on a rock. She knew that there was no firm foundation, that there was no firmer foundation. She was an example of worship to her son. How could she do that? Hannah had a personal relationship with God that fueled her trust, her commitment, and her life. My brothers and my sisters, learn how to lean on God. I would want to ask not only my sisters, but also my brothers, how can you be a mother or a father who trusts God with their children? How can you make a commitment to lead your children to serve God? How can you be a model and examine an example to your children of a life spent worshiping God? Your relationship with God through Christ fuels your trust, commitment, and life. Well, my brothers and my sisters, I love you. But before I go, I want to just give you a few quick questions. Can you trust God with your children? I want to give you the answer. You can if you trust God with your life. Can you lead your children to serve God? You can if you serve God. Can you lead your children to worship God? You can if you worship God. Can you lead your children to become mighty men and women of God, individuals he uses to advance his kingdom? You can if you have built your life upon the rock of a personal relationship with Christ. That is why the scripture tells us, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he gets old, he will not depart. Well, my brothers and my sisters, that's our time. I pray that it blessed you. I pray that you are encouraged through it all. I love you. Happy Mother's Day. Go show some love to someone. Call your aunt. Call your grandmother. Call whoever. Let them know that you're thinking about them this Mother's Day. Before I go, I want to leave you with a precious gem that I always leave you with, and that is simply this, that the will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Stay with God and you'll be in good company. Bye-bye for now. I'll talk to you next time.